Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message. Here's something that we can all relate to, despite me not knowing you or you not knowing the people around you. There's common ground that we have with each other. And today I want to talk about the common ground of fear. Because we're all afraid of something. Right? I know kids' church is downstairs, adult church is upstairs, and we're not afraid of the basement or the dark. Maybe some of you are. That's your thing. It's cool. That was my thing. Right? But we carry with us today as adults fears. We have things that we're afraid of, things that if they enter our lives, enter our space, we kind of get gripped with fear. So I got a list here of some of the top fears known to humanity. And if you're not too afraid to chuckle or laugh or nod or even throw your hand up and give an amen on one of these, this is your fear. You might meet a friend today and you guys could be scared together. You could just leave this list, get away from spiders, right? Arachnophobia is the top one. So spider fears, yeah, I know you're out there. You just don't, hands are going up. It's like, don't. I battled with this one a lot, but I found out that Amy's not always home, and so someone's got to kill the spiders. So I had to push arachnophobia off the list because it was getting weird for me. I had to stay out of rooms if she wasn't there until she came home to take care of it. So, but this one I still struggle with, acrophobia, which is the fear of heights. Amen. Thank you. So thank God I can still do roller coasters. I think it's because I'm in the sitting position and I'm strapped in. But you get me on a ladder, things get weird. It's just like the whole, and then if I look up, it gets even worse. The legs feel like I lost them. Let's not talk about me. There's this one, nyctophobia, which is a fear of darkness. It's a very real fear. Thanatophobia, the fear of death. I think that's one we might all identify with in here. Hey, death was arrested, but still have a fear of it. I mean, I don't want to face that. This one is glossophobia, public speaking. Yes. Right? All right, amens are coming all around the room. What's fun about that one is if you look at certain lists, they put that one above death. And so it's like, I would rather die than get in front of people. And some of you are right there. You're like, take me out. Just don't hand me the mic. That's what we pay you for. So theophobia is God, the fear of God. And if you're honest today, I mean, you know that maybe for you, this is your first time in church or first time in a long time. Because if you were really honest, you say, you know what? There's some fear of God in me. Like, I'm truly afraid. I don't know God. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he'll do. I'm just afraid. And then there's this one, xenophobia, fear of the unknown. Just don't know what's going to happen. Don't all the different scenarios that could play out, all the different ways that this could pan out, I'm not too sure and afraid. This one might be my favorite, and I'm not making fun of you if you have it, but there's phobophobia, just being afraid of being afraid. Just, I've got nothing else to be afraid of. I am afraid that I'm going to end up afraid at some point. So you can work through those on your own time and which one you identify with. But I believe today that we have these situations that goes beyond spiders and darkness and heights. There are real fears that we carry with us as adults. Come on, who's not afraid of failing? We all land there. If you're in a relationship with someone, you don't want to let that person down. You don't want to let your spouse down. You don't want your boyfriend, girl, whoever it is, you don't want to fail them. If you're a business owner, you don't want to fail your business. If you're in school, you don't want to fail as a student. And we carry that with us. Or there's this one, the fear of change. Right? Come on, that's one we can all say, I don't want to change. I'm afraid of it. And it might be a move, it might be a relational move. Just some change that's going on inside of you, and you know what that is. You have that situation, and even right now as I'm speaking, you already know what it is. It goes beyond spiders, darkness, heights. It's fear of failure. It's fear of change. There's fear of maybe not having enough security in your life, comforts, financial security. I don't know if the bills are going to get paid. I don't know if food's going to come in. I don't know where I'm going to work. These are all the fears that we play with as adults on an everyday basis. Am I going to be successful? Am I going to be liked? Are they going to approve of me? Am I going to get invited? Am I going to get promoted? And these questions well up in us, and insecurity wells up in us, and fear comes in us. So I want that to be our common ground today. We, all of us in this space, know what it's like to fear, and we have our fears. Now, here's where we start to break off from each other. When you are afraid, you have a response to your fear. You have your plan of action. You have the way you respond. And it may be different than the way your spouse responds, your family responds, your friends respond, but you have that. And there's two big ones that were introduced to us by a psychologist. And he said that there's this theory, the flight or fight theory. You've heard of that before? Right? When fear comes at you, there are two big responses that kick on in our synapses in our brain, and we go into survival mode, and survival mode tells us you're going to either fight or you're going to flight. You're going to charge at that thing, and it's just, you know, et tu, Brute, and just whatever you have to do, Sparta, whatever it looks like for you. People are like, what is going on up there? It was the water. Right? Whatever it looks like for you, you're going to charge at that thing. And the other is, it's, I'm afraid, and I'm getting out of here as fast as I can. We choose flight. So you have a situation. You have a phone call to make. You have a relationship that needs fixing. You have a project at work. You have whatever it looks like. You have those things, and fear comes up. I don't know. And then you start to pick a response. You know what? I'm just going to make the phone call. We're just going to confront this thing. We're just going to take it head on. I'm not ready to do that yet. I'm going to run away from this thing. The problem is that both of those responses don't always resolve the issue. Because I'm sure you've charged at a situation before. You've taken head on a situation that you were afraid of, and you thought you talked yourself up. I mean, you had the Rocky music playing, and you're ready to go. And then you get there, and it's like, that didn't play out the way it did in my head. Maybe it got worse, didn't get resolved. Fight doesn't always work in the face of fear. And then flight, I mean, we just table the scenario. We table the situation. We say, I'll deal with this later. And later never seems to come. And so we live a life of fear. Now, that was introduced by a psychologist. I want to introduce two more to you today. Okay, one of them I know you know about. I'm going to stay with the language of the F. So flight, fight, freeze. Freeze in the face of fear. Now, this happens a lot to me when I hear a noise in the middle of the night. Come on, you know, you hear something in the house, and it's like, if I just don't move, they won't get me. And so you just, as quietly as I can, babe, go check it out. There's someone out. Like, you're learning a lot, right? Just freeze. She's nodding along. Just freeze, because sometimes, here's what it is. Sometimes our fears are so big. They are so huge. That giant is staring us down, and we can't even move. And you know, for some of us in this space, you haven't slept right, you haven't ate right, you haven't thought right, you haven't acted right, because that thing is still there, and it's like you're frozen. You're not who you want to be. You're not your true self. You're frozen. You're gripped with fear. And so we freeze. And then there's this fourth response. I want to call it door number four, because I like the game shows where it's like, can I see what's behind door number four before I choose? And so I want to introduce to you today this fourth response to fear. And here's why you need to understand this fourth response. Because flight, fight, and freeze, sometimes they work, but sometimes they don't. And sometimes they work for a small amount of time, and then they stop working, and then we have to go a different response. So I'll fight this thing head on. Doesn't seem to be working, so I'm going to back off. I'm going to flight. I'm frozen now, can't really do anything. Let me fight again. And we just play this game of trying to take down what we're afraid of messing with the situation. And so you need to hear what door number four is today. And what's so cool about option number four is no matter who you are, it is available to you. So this is kind of an all-skate deal, right? Everyone gets on the middle of the rink. Everyone gets involved in this one. No matter if you're a Christian today, no matter if you're not, no matter if this is your first time in church or you've been coming for a while, I want you to understand that this option here is for you today. It's an option. You're already responding to fear. You know what your situation is, and you know your response. And so maybe today we can consider this fourth response that could really take on what we're afraid of. So we've been working through some Old Testament stories. The Old Testament is the first half of the Bible, the confusing half, we might call it. We open it up, and we have no idea what's going on back there. It's like, I don't get it. The problem is it's 75% of our Bible. So if we just want to live in the New Testament, we're getting rid of 75% of what we have. And when Jesus walked the earth, his Bible was the Old Testament. So we want to use the Bible that Jesus used. But when we open it, we read weird stories, and we read commands that make us feel insecure and confused. And we feel good because we read, but if someone asks us what we read, we're like, I have no idea I could not. Leviticus. What does this mean? Right. I can't even pronounce some of it. And so we've been looking at some of these stories for a few weeks together. And we've been making sense out of stories that don't make sense by understanding one big truth. The reason why we get so confused is because we make the stories about us. And every single story actually points us to Jesus. Amen. Every story. Even the old weird ones. Even the one we read one about a pastor marrying a prostitute. I mean, how much weirder could it get? And we found Jesus there. And we talked about a man getting swallowed by a fish and a talking snake and a father who was told, kill your son. And we're finding Jesus. And here's the reason why we need to find Jesus. Because when we make it about us, we get confused and insecure. I don't know what they're talking about. And if we could somehow figure it out, well, I can't do that. So I guess I'm not good enough. And some of us, we've left church for a long time because we felt that insecurity. I don't know the songs. I don't know when to stand. I don't know what to do. I don't fit in. So we've been finding Jesus through all these stories. Today, I'm excited because today might be one of the most popular stories of the Old Testament. It's where we get our business term, David and Goliath. Right? It's where we see an underdog take down the one who should have won the contest. It's where you get Davy and Goliath, little claymation and puppets and all that. Right? So we know about David and Goliath. And so we're going to walk through this story. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you grew up Sunday school and you remember it, or you were told it by an aunt, uncle, grandparent sometime. But I want you to see in this story, there is a fourth response when fear comes at us. We all experience fear. We all have a response. Our responses don't tend to work out that well. And we see, when David and Goliath, a fourth response that is available to all of us. So we're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 17 today. If you've got a Bible with you, you can flip there or scroll there. But we're going to have the verses up here as well for you to follow along with us. 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting at verse 11. When Saul and his troops heard the Philistines' challenge, they were terrified and lost all hope. Okay, let me give you some background. Philistines. Did you ever have in school like that one bully that always seemed to pick on people? All right, maybe you were picked on, or maybe you don't have to raise your hand. Maybe you were that one bully, right? Always picking on. That was kind of where I landed, truthfully. I always tried to create jokes around certain people and be the class clown. I made life miserable for one student for 13 straight years. I mean, just totally picked on him. Thank God in our senior year we became friends. But always having that person in your life that always seems to tear you down, always seems to talk negative about you, right? For the Israelites, the Jewish people, that was the Philistines. The Philistines was this group of people, like picture today, like if you're from like Selden, like Seldenites. Like, that's Philistines, okay? So that's all it is. It's just where they're from. So the Philistines from Philistia would always attack Israel. It was like this annoying enemy that always surfaced in their stories. And here, the enemy surfaces again, and they're getting ready to battle each other. But this time, they change the terms of the battle. Instead of everybody sending out all of their army and it just being this slaughter, they decide, hey, let's just each choose our champion. And our champion will go out and fight for the rest of us. And if our champion, the Israelites, is successful, well, then the Philistines, you guys lose, you become our slaves. And the Philistines' champion says, if you guys lose, then you become our slaves. Now, the Philistines had this champion named Goliath. And Goliath was this big guy. There's debate over how tall he was, somewhere between 6'9" and possibly over 9 feet. So regardless of where it lands, it's tall. For that time, it's tall for this time. What's very interesting is you read the story of Goliath and you know more about him, you see that his armor is described in detail. His weight of his armor is described. Remember, this is ancient literature, so we can't just backspace when we write things. So when people took time to write stuff, it was significant. So how significant it is for them to say, this is how much just his armor weighed. This is how big this champion is. And he goes out there and he challenges the Israelites, bring out your champion. And here he is standing there. And they're terrified. And their fear, I mean, let's put a name to it. They're afraid of losing their economy because the Philistines are going to take over. So job loss. They're afraid of losing their freedom. They're afraid of losing relationship. Because, I mean, what if not all of my family survives this takeover? So we can relate. Afraid of losing my job, afraid of losing my relationships, afraid. And Goliath comes out and starts shouting, and they freeze. I mean, they just, look at the next verse. Each morning and evening for 40 days, Goliath took his stand and made his speech. 40 days. Goliath comes out. Send out your champion. Come on, I'll beat him and then you'll become mine. And for 40 days, the Israelites are landlocked against the Philistines. And you know what's interesting for a lot of us in this space? It's been way more than 40 days that we've been frozen. It's been way more than 40 days that you've been dealing with the same situation, the same thought process, the same way of living, where each morning and each evening, when you wake up, you know what it is you're afraid of. When you go to sleep, you know what it is you're thinking about. And for 40 days, these guys are going through that cycle every day. There's what we're afraid of. There's what we're afraid of. We can't do anything about it. Not even the king, King Saul, who it's his job to go out there and fight for his people. King Saul's not going. He's like, that dude's big. I am not going out there. And for 40 days, they don't have anyone who will fight for him. Enter David. Now, what's so interesting about David is we don't get the grand description that we get like Saul. We see that David is a shepherd by occupation. David is under 20. We don't know that because he was never enlisted to fight in Saul's army. And so here's this under 20 shepherd, and he's sent to the battlefield to bring supplies. He's a supply runner, specifically cheese. I mean, it's not even good. Like, bring him swords. And his dad's like, go bring them. They need more cheese, because we all know cheese makes a good party. So bring him cheese. They've been out there for a while. And David shows up. And he starts talking with the people. Like, what is going on? I mean, why is no one taking care of this guy? And look what we read. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. So he's taking his stand again. And David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. And now here's where, when your methods don't work, you choose a new one. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. So they were frozen for 40 days, but at this point now, when Goliath steps out, it's like, we just can't stay here anymore, but there's no way we're taking this on. And so let's just duck out. And David, this under 20 shepherd cheese delivery guy, shows up and is like, what is happening here? What's going on? Why is everybody so afraid? Why are we responding to being frozen and to fleeing? Why won't anybody take a stand? And David says something. And before I read it, let me preface it. It's weird. Okay, he says something that sounds weird. So I'm going to read it, but then I'm going to explain it. Don't disconnect because it's weird. Because what David says reveals the real issue with fear. When David says what he says about Goliath, it reveals the real problem with the fear that you've got in your life right now. It shows us two big things about fear. So David says this. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Okay, that's not the weird part, okay? So what's going to happen? Who's going to take this guy out? And then specifically, I mean, what happens to the guy that takes him out? You know, what does he get? Then he says this, and here's where we find out about fear. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So, weird, right? Because it's like, what does that have to do with anything? We need to understand some of the culture behind what David is saying here. Now remember, David is not described the way Goliath is. Goliath is described as being great and grand, and his armor weighs a certain amount, and he's got this height to him. And every day he's coming out and he's hurling these insults. And David is an under 20 shepherd supply boy. And yet the statement David makes is so much grander than anything Goliath is in this moment, because it is the reminder of what the real issue is when we get afraid. When David says what he says here, he is reminding us that fear shows us where we've placed our identity and what our life's purpose is. Where we find ourselves and where we find what to do with ourselves. That's what fear will show you about you. So David first says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? This isn't just like old school locker room jab. Okay, there's some significance to what David is saying here. Because the Israelites were identified as the people of God by this practice of circumcision. It started with Abraham years before David. And it was a reminder to Israel, you've been marked by God. You are God's. Now, when he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He is reminding his listeners, this Philistine is not marked by God. This Philistine finds his identity in other things, in other places. Now, specifically for the Philistines, they would find their identity in their military power. I mean, this guy comes out for 40 days. How egocentric do you have to be to come out for 40 days and yell about yourself? Let me remind you again, it's day 26. Here I am. Look at me. Look at how great I am. Look at the armor I have. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at what I've done. Look at what I could do. And for days, he's coming out and declaring, here's my identity. I earned it. Here's the problem when you earn your own identity. If you earn your identity, it is on you to keep your identity. Think about that. If your identity is, well, I'm a husband, I'm a father, that's where I find myself, well, now it's on you to keep that. And that's why we get afraid and say, well, I don't want my spouse not to love me anymore. I don't want to screw up my family. You see how that works, how fear shows us where we're finding our identity? And David's reminding the Israelites as they listen, this guy finds his identity in himself. But you've been marked by God. And when your identity is one for you, then it's not on you to keep it. And he's reminding Israel in this moment, God found your identity. And so God will protect your identity no matter what this big guy over here is saying. God has got your identity. Now, identity and mission go hand in hand. Wherever you find your identity is where you're going to find your life's purpose. And then fear shows us that. So, hey, I find my identity as being a successful businessman. Okay, well, my life's purpose is then to make sure my company remains successful. Because if I lose the company, I lose a piece of me. And so I'm afraid that I'm not doing, does that make sense? I'm afraid I'm not doing so well in the company. So how do the Philistines find their mission, their purpose? Well, he says in the next thing, that he should defy the armies of the living God. David says that phrase so many times in his life, the armies of the living God. He reminds Israel, you're God's army. And here's what he's doing. In this day, I mean, military power was everything. I mean, it's how you are known. It's how you gain recognition. Here's my military prowess. Here's my power. And he's reminding them, hold on a second, you guys are God's army. You fight for a different reason. The Philistines were seafaring people. They were really good around water. They would go and surround cities. They could get in and they could just conquer it. And their mission was to acquire, get more for themselves. I mean, that goes hand in hand with military. Let's divide and conquer. Let's take over. But David says, you're God's army. And when God set up his army, he gave them two unique purposes. Whenever they were to fight, the first part of their fighting was for justice. When you read some of these stories in the Old Testament, you see that Israel goes in and fights against nations and people that had horrible practices. They did not treat people fairly. And when God would send in the Israelites under Joshua, under Moses, under whoever it was, the kings, they were bringing justice to the land. In fact, you could do this. You could read the first chapter of Judges. There's this moment where one of the kings that they take over, he actually says, this is happening because of what I've done to other people. People recognize that about the army of God. The second thing is a little harder to understand. When Israel would go in, it was actually a sign of God's grace towards the people. How is warfare grace? We heard five stories today of people who said, here's why I believe in Jesus. They were all personal stories. When you want to tell someone in 2018 that God is real and he's changed your life, you tell them. If you want to do it back then, you fight them. We don't do that. So no one fight each other right now. Here's why. Here's what you would do. When your military was successful in this culture, it showed that the God you served was the real God. This is polytheism. And so armies would fight each other, and they would do so in the name of their God. And the defeated army would then recognize, okay, I guess our God's not as great as we thought because we lost, so now we're going to serve your God. So as Israel would go in and they would have victory over victory, they were telling the people around them, our God is the God you should serve. It's kind of weird to wrap our head around it in 2018, But that's why David says, you're the Lord's army. Like, you know your mission. You know your identity. So David makes this grand speech about fear. And then David has some words with the king. He says, I'm going to fight him. He does a wardrobe change. He tries to put on the king's armor, but it's way too big for him. So he's like, I can't use this. I know who I am. I'm going to use what I know. And he goes out there with his sling, some stones. And Goliath doesn't like that at all. It's quite comical. You could read it. He's like, what are you doing? Am I a dog? You're coming at me with that shepherd's stick? I mean, what is this? But David knows I'm marked by God, and my mission is to tell people about God. Now, here's our response that we have, and here's the response the Israelites have. They were so used to fleeing, they didn't even want to attempt fighting. They were frozen for 40 days. But when David steps out, they get a fourth option. And it's faith. Because now, as the entire Israelite army is watching this shepherd boy, 20-year-old cheese guy, get out there, they're like, well, this is it. I mean, the terms are, he wins, we win. He loses, we lose. And they throw their faith into this kid. And he wins. And what happens next shows me and should show you why you should choose faith today in the face of fear. The men of Israel and Judah were up on their feet shouting, and they chased the Philistines all the way to the outskirts of Gath and the gates of Ekron. Hold on, boys, because for 40 days you didn't move. What in the world changed? I mean, you didn't do anything to help there. That kid won your battle. Why are you up shouting? I mean, you should be cowering in fear or be upset or just go home and be like, I guess we couldn't do it. We need a 20-year-old to win. They understood what you've got to understand today. David's victory became the people's victory. When David won, they won. And it didn't matter that they hadn't fought in the battle. What mattered is they placed their faith in David. And said, David wins. And the people know this is our win. And they start taking off in charge. And what's so cool is thousands of years later, another young hero would enter the scene and would win a battle. And for all who would place their faith in him, his victory will become their victory. And so on Palm Sunday, the verse we read, this is why it makes sense now about the Son of David. Because Jesus enters Jerusalem, and they say, praise God for the Son of David. And you might know Joseph was the earthly father, right? And Mary's mother. Where's David coming from? Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven. And it's because they recognize as Jesus entered in Jerusalem that day riding on that donkey, and they spread out palm branches and they spread out coats on his feet to honor and respect him. They said, the same way David won a war for us, this Jesus is going to win a war for us. Here's the thing. They believed it would be a military war. They believed Jesus was riding into Jerusalem to uproot Pilate and Caesar. They didn't know 5 days later he'd be nailed to a cross and they'd be confused out of their mind. What kind of a win is that? Oh, just wait till Sunday. Death's arrested. Just give me 3 days. I will come back to life and you'll see the war that I won. And so what you have to understand today, if you would place your faith in Jesus, you can rest assured that whatever the giant is in your life, whatever the fear is that you have right now, horizontally, relationally, financially, physically, whatever it is that is keeping you up in the morning and at night, in the morning and at night, for days and days and days, you're going through the cycle. And you're fighting, and you're freezing, and you're flighting. There is faith. Because if you know that Jesus could conquer the grave, he's got your bills. He's got your spouse. He's got your kids. He's got that stuff. He conquered the grave. He is the Son of David. Understand, I want to read you this quote. Faith doesn't mean you don't fear, because I don't want you leaving here today saying, you know what, I placed my faith in Jesus. I should never fear again. No, no, no. We all fear. Christian or not, we all fear. But here it is. It means that when fear comes, you remember the victory that Jesus has won for you. And your identity and your mission are secure. So can I say this? It might be weird. It means that if you place your faith in Jesus, you fear different. You just fear different. You still fear, But you fear different because you're not going to lose your identity and your mission to whatever it is you're afraid of. And so you know, Jesus got this. I'm placing my faith in him. And so I want you this week, you've got a rhythm card in that chair. That's something we do here because we want our time together to kind of go with us as we leave. I want you to make a list of what you're afraid of. You're just going to see this, so there's no use in lying. Make your list this week. What am I afraid of right now? I'm afraid that I'm not good enough for my spouse. I'm afraid that my business isn't going to prosper. I'm afraid that my health won't get better, whatever that is. And then I want you to think, how would placing my faith in Jesus make me fear different? How would I be able to fear knowing that my identity and my mission are sure because Jesus arrested death? And so there's opportunity for you to fear different this week. There's another response for you. There's door number four. And if you want to take that step towards faith today, there's a step card in the chair in front of you. And there's a spot that says Discover Jesus. And if you want to say March 25th, I want to start to discover this Jesus, this young hero who rode into Jerusalem to fight a war I couldn't fight and win for me a victory I could never win. I want to know him. That's your next step. Discover Jesus. Place your faith in him and fear differently. And next week, Easter Sunday, we are going to celebrate the resurrection and the life. Amen. We are going to look to Jesus who conquered the grave. And what's really cool is we're going to talk about the resurrection of one of Jesus' friends. And something that Jesus said on that moment that is so powerful, it is a life-changing truth that you've got to discover to live differently. So I'm inviting you to come back next week at 9:30 or 11, and you could just stay through because it's going to be so good. 9:30 and 11, and we're going to celebrate Jesus together. Let me say a prayer with you. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that because Jesus is our young hero who rode in and fought the battle for us, we place our faith in him. We don't choose to fight it on our own. We don't choose to run away. We don't choose to be stuck in it. We look to Jesus, our hero, our savior, our rescuer. And we pray together that you would increase our faith. Cause us to fear differently. I pray for each one of us in this space. I pray for those who are not trusting in you yet, that they would place their faith in your son, Jesus, and look to him as their savior, and that we would begin to live different lives, not gripped by fear, filled with faith. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.